Blog Talk Radio.
Fast 60 minutes of sports. Live now. Roll one. Check two. Here we go, y'all. 60 minutes with your host, Benny Moore. Benny Moore.
Benny Moore.
Benny Moore. Benny Moore. Fastest, 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 fastest. 60 minutes in sports. NFL, MLB, NBA. He likes to talk about them. Nah. All right now. Fasting this sports on your waves right now. Get it in. 619-639-4747. Welcome to the fastest 60 minutes of sports with your host, Benny Moore.
Welcome in, kiddies. Welcome in. 10:32 on New Year's Day, 2012. Love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We started the show trying to get a little half an hour later today, really because we know a lot of you guys are still getting up off that night you had last night. Some of y'all just overdid it, man. Indulgence like a new level. But that's what you do on New Year's Eve, so I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Hopefully you've come through it healthy and happy. Quick moment. I understand that there's some sad news locally. One of the young ladies, a friend of the program, a little while out last night, unfortunately, I was in a car accident and lost her life. One of the daughters lost her lives. And, again, just a reminder of how fragile this thing called life is. Guys, take care of yourselves. It's a crazy world out here, and it's all about decisions, obviously. And you need you to make good decisions, especially our youth. You know, the next generation, the generations to come. Guys, I need you to make good decisions. You know, again, if you're fortunate enough to hear me today and be here today, God bless you. It's good to see you, and we're gonna have some fun talking about sports, college football. The NBA, obviously the NFL, we always get it in. We do have your Week 17 VIN picks. It's an odd one, I'll be honest with you, because you know what happens this time of year when teams and playoffs are kind of already set. They start sitting their starters and, you know, get resting guys and getting, you know, guys, you know, little dings, get them all healed up. So, anyway, 10:33 for your morning. Let's run down the bowl series this year, because that has been absolutely amazing. It's been a lot of fun. There's been a lot of great college football. And for you USC fans out there, I know you were disappointed at the devastation of Brock Lesnar last night. That wasn't even a fight. Brock just looked like someone who'd been spending way too much time in WWE staged work and was nowhere close to ready for the punishment his body took in literally one round last night. I think he got knee. I think he's just got kneed again and just retired all over again. So, but I wish Brock Lesnar the best. You know, if he really wants to rekindle the name and the excitement, just go on back to Vince McMahon and WWE and reestablish yourself there. At least then you'll have a good check and some following, and you probably won't be as hurt and as punished as you've been with all this UFC MMA stuff. Anyway, enough about that. To the world of college football, I want to take you all the way back to the entire beginning of the whole bowl season, which started December the 17th, and run down all the scores and let you know, you maybe a college team that you either maybe you went there, maybe you got some friends, family there, at least let you know how they did. And just some tidbits along the way. And for my Ohio State fans, I've been giving you grief. Yes, you are in a bowl game this year, right? I know I was teasing you, telling you that you guys could make a bowl game. You're going to be suspended, whatever. You're in a bowl game. You're in this year's Gator Bowl, okay? You're 6-6. You're still Ohio State. You still travel better than most colleges across the nation. So guess what? You're in a bowl game. You're going to play tomorrow. So woo-hoo-hoo to you. Poop-poop-poop. Poop. All right. So the whole bowl season, the Capital One bowl season, started back on Saturday, December 17th, with a 9-4 Temple squad taking on Wyoming, an 8-5 squad. And bottom line, Temple just a little bit more offense, especially in that second quarter. Final score, 37-15. We move forward then the same day with the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Oh, by the way, the first game on the 17th, that was the Gildan New Mexico Bowl. Then followed up by the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Don't trip on these names. These are some hilarious names. I understand this, but these are the bowl games that were played this year. The University of Ohio takes care of Utah State 24-23. Utah State was actually a very good team. The R&L Carries New Orleans Bowl, also played on the 17th, saw L.A. Lafayette best of San Diego State squad 32-30. It was a really good game. I would not have been surprised had our buddy Marshall Faulk graduated San Diego State and wasn't at that game. December 20th, 3 days later, you saw Marshall take care of Florida International 2010 game, and which was really a good game until the fourth quarter, and again, a lot of fun. That was the Beef O'Brady's Bowl in St. Petersburg. Yeah, the Beef O'Brady's Bowl. On the 21st of December, many of you took time out to watch the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl. It used to be the Poinsettia Bowl. Now, it's, of course, everything has sponsorship now. So the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl, won by TCU, 31-24. Again, an LA Tech squad, and you played really, really hard. Again, it was a good game. Actually, going into the fourth quarter, Louisiana Tech was leading that game, and TCU takes care of business, finishing off their season at 11-2 and 7-0 in their conference. So, December 22nd, we all sat down to watch the Mako Bowl in Las Vegas. Yeah, the Mako Bowl, which watched Boise State literally roll what was left of Arizona State, a 6-7 Arizona State squad, getting smoked by a 12-1, ranked number 7 now, Boise State squad. This is the part I don't quite get. That was the Mako Bowl in Las Vegas. You're ranked number 7 in the nation, and you can't get any BCS love. You're 12-1, and the bowl you get is the Mako Bowl. Well, at least you got a trip to Vegas, kids. All right. So, Christmas Eve, the 24th, we watched Southern Miss, a very, very exciting, good team in the Conference USA, 12-2, basically take care of Nevada 24-17, a decent game that was tied going into the fourth quarter. Ultimately, Southern Miss takes care of. That was the Sheridan Hawaii Bowl. So the kids get a trip to Hawaii. Not such a bad look for the kids of Southern Miss. December the 26th, the day after the holiday, we sat down to watch the Advocare V100 Independence Bowl. Missouri, a 41-24 winner over what started off to be a, well, I would say a game North Carolina team, but an overmatched North Carolina squad altogether. The 27th of December rolls around, and then we were blessed with a couple of games. We got to see the Little Caesars Bowl, which saw Purdue play probably the game of its life, a 7-6 Purdue squad taking care of a Western Michigan squad. Russell makes the fumble. Bruce Gaston gets the recovery, and 37-32 is your final as they hold off against Western Michigan's wild push in what is now known as the Pizza Bowl, with Little Caesars being the sponsor. And then we got to sit down and watch North Carolina State take on Louisville. And what was a very, very entertaining game, it was one-sided at the outset, 21-10, and then went to 31-10 at one point, and then Louisville began its push back. So they held on. Anyway, that was the Belk Bowl. Now, I don't know what the Belk Bowl's history is, but that was the name of that bowl game, B-E-L-K, the Belk Bowl. I would love to know what that trophy looked like. Wednesday, December the 28th, you got to watch the Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grumman. All that good military money. A great football game that came down to Toledo besting Air Force by 1 point. A blown 2-point conversion gives Toledo the win. So an extra point sends it into overtime, but a 2-point conversion trying to win the game cost Air Force the game. Toledo wins at 42-41. The Military Bowl. Then you got to watch the Bridgepoint Education Holiday Bowl. I didn't know Educational Services made enough money to sponsor a bowl game, but such is the case, as number 24 Texas takes out California 21-10. Then on the 29th, my mother's birthday, God bless you, Katie Mae, may you rest in peace, the Florida State Seminoles best Notre Dame 18-14. They rallied in the second half with 15 points in the fourth quarter in the Champs Sports Bowl. Now, the Champs Sports Bowl has been around for a little while, but still. Then we get to what used to be the Alamo Bowl, which saw an absolute crazy game. Crazy game. It was 21-7 at the end of the first quarter. That was all Baylor. Then Washington puts up 28 points in the second quarter. So your halftime score is 35-24 Washington. So Baylor reciprocates by putting up 29 in the third quarter while Washington puts up 14. Baylor then goes on to put a 14 in the fourth and Washington 7 in the fourth for the final score of 67-56. Your Heisman Trophy winner powers the high-scoring Baylor offense, who finishes the season 10-3 in the Valero Alamo Bowl. Now, if you're a pro scout and you wanted to see just tons and tons and tons of points and offense, I guess that's the game to go see. By the way, you can check out the highlights at ESPN.com. Anyway, Crazy, crazy stuff. Then December 30 rolls around. BYU takes care of Tulsa in what was at least an entertaining game, 24-21. Again, the final drive of the game allows BYU to win that. That is the Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl. So two bowls supported and driven by the armed forces. Then to the right, we go to the New Era Pinstripe Bowl. Rutgers takes care of Iowa State in what looked like it was an entertaining game for a while. Well, until late in the second quarter, then Rutgers goes on a 17-0 run and then a 10-0 in the fourth. And, you know, the last bastion of entertainment for Iowa State came late in the game to make it less interesting, but 27-13 Rutgers rolls. So, fast forward, same day, December 30th, Mississippi State Wake Forest in the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. It was the Music City Bowl. Now it's the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. Mississippi State takes care of Wake Forest 23-17. The other game that day saw the number 14 ranked Oklahoma Sooners take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Yeah, Iowa puts on a push late just to make the game interesting, but the game was already out of hand. And that was the Insight Bowl. Hey, a game without a sponsor. The Insight Bowl. Yeah. December 31st saw Texas A&M hold on against a game Northwestern squad trying to push late. Again, Northwestern has a history of trying to have those late runs, late pushes. Just too much pathetic defense on Northwestern side of the ball, giving them way too many big plays to Texas A&M. And that was the Meineke Car Care Bowl of Texas. The Meineke Car Care Bowl of Texas. Write that down. You'll see that one again. There might be a test. Later on that day in the Hyundai Sun Bowl, a very entertaining game, Utah and Georgia Tech. It comes down to Utah rallying from 14 down to win it in overtime, 30-27. Later on that day, the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl saw Illinois hold on to beat UCLA, stopping their own skid. They had lost six straight after starting the season 6-0 and finishing 2-6 in the Big Ten. They catch some big plays. Nathan Shieldhouse played well. A.J. Jenkins will be playing on Sunday. Whitney Merciless sets the record for the most sacks in Illinois college football history. That record once held by Simeon Rice. So kudos to Illinois for and their interim coach for putting up a good showing in a bowl game. Then the AutoZone Liberty Bowl took stage, and Cincinnati takes care of Vanderbilt 31-24. Keep in mind, you only need six wins to be bowl eligible. Please understand it. Just six. So you've got teams playing in bowl games that are 6-7, and it comes down to a business decision at that point of which team travels well, which team will generate the most revenue for the bowl and the bowl sponsorship. And so there you go. So a 10-3 Cincinnati squad takes care of Vanderbilt in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Then the Chick-fil-A Bowl, which has been around for a while. This one is not really new. Auburn, a 43-24 winner over a game Virginia squad. Again, Auburn, way too much offense. Now, games yet to be played. Have not happened yet. Won't happen today because actually there is no bowl game. This January 1, it's a Sunday. There's no bowl game today. They're all tomorrow. All of them. And they start off with the Ticket City Bowl, Houston and Penn State. Then the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl, where our buddies in Ohio State, which we have no axe to grind with the school, can't stand some of their fans. Ohio State takes on the Florida Gators, and we're leaning toward the Gators on this one. Then later on, the Outback Bowl, which again has been around for a while now, Michigan State and Georgia. The Capital One Bowl, Nebraska and South Carolina. We start to see some higher-ranked teams now getting some play time. The Rose Bowl game, of course, tomorrow, Wisconsin, Oregon. That'll be a very, very entertaining game. The Tostitos Fiesta Bowl tomorrow night, Stanford and Oklahoma City. Tuesday, January the 3rd, you get the Sugar Bowl, Michigan and Va-Tech. On the 4th, you get the Discover Orange Bowl, which is West Virginia Clemson. On the 6th, you get the Cotton Bowl. I'm not sure why they stretch these out like this, but they did. Probably, I'm sure, for viewership. Kansas City at Arkansas, that'll be a high-scoring game. January the 7th. Now, this is kind of weird. SMU at Pittsburgh and the BBVA Compass Bowl. Now, how they pulled off a second-tier or third-tier bowl game that late in January, completely unannounced to me. Then on the 8th, Sunday, January the 8th, you get the GoDaddy.com Bowl with Arkansas State first seed NIU on the 8th of January. There are two bowls, the BBVA Compass Bowl and the GoDaddy.com Bowl, that largely have nothing to do with the hype and excitement of games such as the Orange, the Cotton, and the Rose Bowl, but they're being played as if they're on a bigger stage and more poignant. All I can say is, wow. And then, of course, the granddaddy of this whole – well, no, nah, I should say – I can't – let me change that. You can't call it the granddaddy. The most significant game, of course, the All-State BCS National Championship game, which is Monday, January the 9th, Alabama-LSU. We'll all be over all hangovers and all situations at that point for the new year and probably can't wait for the college football season to simply go away as number one LSU takes on number two Alabama in a game that a lot of us realize we've already seen and will probably end up 9-6. That is why most of us will be watching the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl to see how many points Oklahoma State's going to put on Stanford. And Stanford is no punk now. They're going to put up points as well. But all that will be a very, very interesting dynamic. And that has been a look at your college football, well, for lack of a better word, your season. We'll be right back after this.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
So, still deciding between Verizon DSL and Comcast high-speed internet? Well, you should get the whole story.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to know, how fast is Verizon DSL?
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
On where you live.
On where I live? All right, well, do I pay less if I get a slower connection?
No.
You're kidding me.
Right. Now, let's hear that conversation with Comcast.
Hello, Comcast.
Yeah, hi. I'm curious. How much faster are you than Verizon DSL?
Oh, there's really no comparison, sir. With our 3-meg service, we're up to 3 times faster than Verizon 768K DSL. You see, we're a 100% pure broadband network.
So you guys really are the best.
Absolutely. We're the number one high-speed internet provider in America.
Wow, I almost made the wrong call. But I'm going with Comcast.
If you're looking for the best internet experience, make the right call. Comcast high-speed internet. Nothing else comes close.
Download speed compared to 768K DSL. Upstream limited to 256K. Many factors affect speed, and actual speeds may vary. Call Comcast for pricing and service detail.
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
.10:48 for your morning. Now a look at the National Basketball Association. Yeah, I know we're going to have some structure, guys, but that's really way too stiff. Anyway. So your NBA has gotten off the schneid finally, December the 25th, first games were played. Now you've had a chance to get, most teams have gotten 3-4 games in, some have gotten 5, and you automatically immediately start to see which teams, it's more than just, teams with talent. Some teams just have their legs in them, some don't. And some teams, the reality is, just aren't that good. Out of the gate, you probably wouldn't have anticipated Boston being 1-3, you could probably anticipate a lot of them would be middle of the road. The Knicks, the Sixers, the Bulls are 3-1. Indiana's 3-1. They've got a date soon. Milwaukee's 2-1. Looking down the roster, the scores. Miami, the Heat are 4-0. The Oklahoma City Thunder on the West Coast, the only undefeated team out in the West. The Lakers are 3-2. They seem to have, I won't say found their swag. They started 0-2, and then they've won 3 straight. Again, you've got Sacramento at 1-3, winning the first game, losing the next 3. It's early. And when you try to cram 66 games into 123 days, which is what the NBA is trying to do, it is just a matter of time before you'll start to see the Derrick Roses, the Carmelo Anthonys, the Dwight Howards start to have little nicks and dings. I'm waiting for the first hamstring to blow. I will be genuinely surprised if by 10, 15 games into the season, we don't see some significant injuries changing the fortunes of some good teams. Again, it's only a – and you wouldn't think this to be the fact, but it really is. You take 16 games out of your schedule. So it used to be an 82, now it's a 66 for this season. Then you squeeze it into the same time frame of 123 days. So guys are playing extra games. There's no extra day off. There's no extra rest. There's not the same level of recovery. These guys are sucking down a heck of a lot more water. They're expending a heck of a lot more energy without that recuperative time. This is going to be a load, but it is what it is. So for those of you NBA fans that just can't wait to get your scoreboard on, I got to tell you something. There's really not much to share with you right now other than games on tap today. Bobcats at Heat, Lakers at Nuggets, Mavs at Timberwolves, Grizzlies at Bulls, That'll be a fun game. The Grizzlies are 1-2 right now, but again, Chicago in its home opener should look to get to 4-1 tonight. Nets, Cavs, Raptors, Magic, Celtics, Wizards, Hornets, Kings, Trailblazers, Clippers, all on tap tonight. Again, get your NBA on. It was nice to see that Bynum actually got to play his day and showed up well and played well as the Lakers topped the Nuggets in his return. Again, he played well. They used his down low presence to establish a nice low post game, and he delivered. So, anyway, for your NBA heads, I wish I could give you another good 9 minutes of NBA, but you know why? You know, okay, all right. Have I been hard on the NBA? Yes. Have I been a jerk toward them sometimes? No. Have I been complicit and factual? Absolutely. All right. For those of you who just can't live without your scores from yesterday's games, fine. Lakers 92, Nuggets 89. Pistons 96, Pacers 88. The Rockets a 95-84 win over the Hawks. Knicks a 114-92 win over the Kings. The Thunder, again, going to 5-0 at 107, the winner, a 107-97 winner over the Suns. The Spurs a 104-89 winner over the Jazz. The 76ers a 107-79 winner over the really, really curious Warriors. Anyway, they didn't have Ellis yesterday, so, you know, for what it's worth. Slow start for the Sixers, got it going. All of a sudden, game became a blowout, so. Such is the case. Now, for those of you in Illinois or in the Midwest and you've got Comcast, if you've called them, I don't know if you've either ordered the sports package or maybe you just caught a break. Did you notice that a lot of the NBA games were available to you? They're really actually available to you. You can see both feeds from both markets. It's really kind of cool when you think about it. So I'm watching a snippet of the Lakers-Nuggets game and realizing that one channel over is the same game but with the different broadcast crew from that market. That was kind of cool. I don't know how long they're going to run that, whether it's a promotion or what's going on. But if you're an NBA head, you got to love that. So, all right, let's go on to the National Hockey League because, again, I like hockey. Now, for those of you who are paying attention, Eric Lindros, after 12 years of being gone, comes back in the alumni game for the Flyers. He looks healthy, and that's the best thing I can say. He looks happy, healthy, the man's skating. Hopefully he's somewhere giving all that great knowledge to some kids and doing some wonderful things. You know, for the community, wherever he's at in this world, just an all-around good guy. It's nice to see Eric Lindros back on ice, even though it's been a long time since the hiatus. All right, NHL standings. Your tops right now, let's just break down your conferences. The Eastern Conference has the Rangers, Boston, Florida, Philly, Pittsburgh, Jersey, Winnipeg, and Ottawa as your top eight teams. On the West, the best team in hockey right now is the Chicago Blackhawks at 24-10, 24-10-4 with 38 games knocked out. Again, now we're down to thing. You've got 44 games, under 45 games to go now. It starts to get a little bit interesting. The Blackhawks, Canucks, Kings, Red Wings, Wild, Blues, Predators, and Stars, Dallas being the number 8 squad, 21-15. It is nice to see that every team in the playoff hunt now, and some of the teams right at the edge, are over 500 and all are playing really, really well. Just a quick snippet, the Colorado Avalanche outside the number 9 seed in the West, coming off 1-2 straight, they've won 8. They're 8-2 in the last 10 games. And even in the East, the Capitals, 6-3 in their last, have won 3 straight. This is some good hockey for those of you who just really, really are hockey heads. There's a lot of good things going on. Of course, you know me. I love playoff hockey. The season to me is all preparation. There's some good things, but nothing beats playoff hockey. Nothing. That is the most exciting game. Some people call it soccer on ice. Call it what you want. 80-mile-an-hour pucks, guys. I mean, the skill set that is required to play that game at that speed. The goalies are amazing. I mean, from the Kiprusovs to the new Ray Emery's, the Blackhawks' new goalie star, the Corey Crawfords of the world. I mean, seriously, serious hockey going to be played this year. So for those of you who are looking for to get your hockey fix on, it is available to you in Groves. 10:55 for your morning. We would be remiss if we didn't touch on the college basketball world, so let's get into that just a little bit. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, 24 points, 19 boards. They topped Louisville yesterday, Kentucky rolling. Indiana edges Ohio State to add yet another upset to the mix. Let's go down the scoreboard yesterday in college basketball. A little bit of disappointment for you Illinois fans. Sorry to tell you. You got posted by Purdue, but, you know, hey, it's Big Ten basketball, baby, so it is what it is. Let's see. Let's back it up. Let's back it up. Let's say there were 78 games yesterday. Wow. That is a ton of ball being played. All right. We're going to concern ourselves with the top 25. All right. You ready? Let's go. Well, for large people, the game of the day in Indiana 74-70 as they shocked number 2 Ohio State. As I told you earlier, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist with a great game, 24 points, 19 boards, as Kentucky takes care of Louisville, number 3 beats number 4. So you got to love it because they're playing each other. No cakes here. Yeah, no Illinois football where, hey, we're going to play six dogs and they have to play really and then wind up just limping into a bowl game. No, not in college basketball. They're playing each other. You got to love that. UConn, an 83-69 winner over St. John's. Florida, a 90-70 winner over Yale. Wisconsin loses to Iowa, 72-65. Georgetown hangs on against a game Providence squad. Sims comes up late as Georgetown best Providence 49-40. Mississippi State, a 66-64 winner over Utah State. Michigan takes care of Nebraska, 68-55. Kansas, number 18, an 84-58 win over North Dakota. Creighton takes care of Wichita State, and that's always fun because, 11-2 in the MAC versus 10-3 in the Missouri Valley. 68-61, Creighton, Kyle Korver's school. UNLV, a tough UNLV squad, takes out Hawaii, 74-69. UNLV is getting scary after besting some top teams. Harvard, a 74-69 winner over St. Joseph's. Kansas State rolls over Howard, 82-46. Let's see. Scrolling down. Moorhead, a 68-64. Outside the 25 now. Moorhead State, 68-64 over Austin Peay. Va Tech, 67-61 over Oklahoma State. Of course, everyone in Oklahoma State's taking football. And I'm scrolling down. I want to see. Let's see. There it is. Butler, a Butler squad that has really kind of struggled out of the gate, 54-51 over Milwaukee. They're in the Horizon League. That's with UIC as well. 54-50, and then, of course, Illinois in the Big Ten is 12-3 now. 1-1 in the Big Ten as they lose to Purdue, 75-60. Purdue now 12-3. Gonzaga, 72-65 winner over Xavier, the no longer top-ranked Xavier squad. And, again, because they play each other, this thing is always – dynamic. There's not a lot of, college football, if you never lose, you just hold on to your ranking. Not in college basketball. There's too much competition, too much going on, too much good stuff, and teams are just, banging on each other. And before you know it, number one has fallen, number two has fallen, teams are falling out of the top rankings across the country, and before you know it, you're nowhere to be seen. Ouch. Such is the case for squads like Illinois. I mean, they got 70 little votes in terms of being in the top 25, but no love for them right now. Syracuse sits atop the rankings. Ohio State was number 2. That's going to change. Kentucky takes care of Louisville, so they'll probably wind up in number 2 slot. Louisville, with the loss, probably falls down to 7, maybe even further than that. We'll have to wait and see how that plays itself out. Quite a few one-loss, quite a few still undefeated. Syracuse 13-0. Baylor's undefeated. Louisville was undefeated until yesterday. Missouri still undefeated. Indiana undefeated. And now that they're in the Big Ten play, and that upset of Ohio State, that's going to go a long way. That program's come a very, very long way in a very short period of time. So for your college football heads and college football fans, you got to love that one. You got to love that one. So anyway, all right, moving on. Somewhere along the line, we got to talk about Week 17 of the National Football League because that all jumps off today. Everything has kind of stopped as basically the NFL takes center stage in about 1 hour from now. So for those of you who haven't already turned your TV sets on and gone over to take out your NFC, your Fox coverage should be starting about now. For your AFC coverage, for those of you on other parts of the country, your CBS affiliate will handle your pregame show later on today. I'm not sure. Is there a late game today? That much I am not sure. I'm not sure if there is. I know there's no Monday night game. But I'm not sure. All right, for those of you that are, depending on how you're playing your plays in Vegas this week, most of your fantasy seasons for football are done. But for those of you that still have, some playoff games to play in this week 70, I don't know why you would, but maybe that's how you set it up. A couple of projections that might be of interest to you. I'm not going to run down the rankings like we've done in the past, but I would like to at least share with you maybe the top 20 individual players that are projected to do some really big things. See, how many players am I looking at here? Okay, well, let's do it. Let's just run down the list, because depending on who you are and where you are, if you've got the player, certainly you want to start him. But because it's week 17 and because so many squads sit their starters because they've already got playoff positions set, this list is interesting. You know, you may want to make some considerations if you've got some of these guys, maybe that you've kept on your bench all year long, or maybe these guys are someone that you may be going up against and maybe need to make some adjustments. So just something to think about. Number, I guess I really don't even have a number. I want to say there's about 25, and maybe more than that on this list, but we'll start at the bottom, work our way to the top. On the bottom of the list is Dwayne Bowe, projected to get 71 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Marshall, 73 yards and a touchdown. Darren Sproles, 43 yards, a touchdown, but 5 carries, 36 yards, you know, all-around guy. On the defensive side of things, the 49ers come in there projected to get 14 of your fantasy points for you. Now, Matt Flynn is your quarterback for Green Bay. He's the back of Aaron Rodgers. Apparently projected to play today a lot. Projected 16 to 20, 213 yards, 2 touchdowns if he gets in the game against Detroit. So something to consider for those of you, again, if you still got fantasy football going on, you still got some individual things going on, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, wherever you're playing your games, something to consider. Back projected for a touchdown and 89 yards. Excuse me. James Jones, the wideout for Green Bay, a touchdown and 86 yards receiving. Miles Austin in Dallas, a tutty and 82 yards. Marcus Colson with the Saints, a touchdown and 83 yards. Frank Gore, the Niners, 16 carries, 88 yards. Don't know how much he's going to play if that game starts to get away and it starts to blow the opponent out. Roddy White, the Atlanta wideout, a touchdown at 83 yards. Wes Welker with the Patriots, a touchdown at 88 yards. Jabbar Gaffney, a touchdown, 86 yards projected. Rob Gronkowski, the Gronker himself, a touchdown, 92 yards. That would be 7 receptions. Mark Sanchez, yeah, again, 21 out of 38, 225 yards, 2 projected touchdowns. We'll see, possibly 1 INT in the offing for Mark Sanchez. Ryan Fitzpatrick in Buffalo projected 25 out of 40, 293 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 potential picks, and he may get, you know, 2 or 3 yards rushing just because he's going to be scrambling for his life. Larry Fitzgerald, Arizona, 5 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown. Tony Romo, if he plays, 20 for 30, 240 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. These are all projections. Please understand, computers have kicked a lot of this out based on the opponent and the season and, I guess, the significance of the game. Victor Cruz, 5 catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown. And that's the Giants' Victor Cruz. Matt Ryan in Atlanta projected 21 out of 33, 270 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, 1 scramble for about 3 yards. Marshawn Lynch, Seattle, projected 22 carries, 91 yards, and a touchdown. Malcolm Floyd, the wide receiver in San Diego, 5 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown. Michael Turner, 21 carries, 100 yards, and a touchdown. Steve Smith in Carolina is projected 6 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown. Toby Gerhardt of the Minnesota Vikings, 19 carries, 91 yards, and a touchdown against the Bears. Wow. Tim Tebow, the Denver quarterback, 10 out of 22 for 142 yards, a touchdown and a pick, but he's going to rush the ball 9 times for about 50 yards. So Tim Tebow comes in there. Ray Rice, they got it projected for 6 carries, 56 yards, but they've also got him, I'm sorry, it's 6 receptions, 56 yards, 17 carries, 64 yards, and a touchdown. So Ray doing the all-purpose thing today. Phillip Rivers, 23 out of 42, 293 yards. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, and 1 scramble for about a yard. C.J. Spiller, 14 rushes, 92 yards, and a touchdown for Buffalo. Shaney McCoy projected 21 carries, 101 yards, and a touchdown. Also, 3 catches for 20 yards in the passing game. Stevie Johnson, the wideout from Buffalo, 8 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. Michael Bush, the running back from the Raiders, 22 carries, 106 yards, 1 touchdown. Eli Manning playing again at a Pro Bowl level. I know he's not in the conversation for MVP, but he probably should have been. 23 out of 37, 303 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, and probably gets sacked for a 2-yard loss. Calvin Johnson, Megatron himself, 8 catches, 135 yards, and a touchdown in what should be a very interesting game. Matt Stafford, the Lions quarterback, 29 out of 45, 345 yards, projected 3 touchdowns, potential 2 picks, because he's going to chuck it up there a lot. Maurice Jones-Drew, 28 carries, 117 yards, one touchdown, also six catches for 45 yards. Michael Vick, 19 out of 32, 240 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Rushed the ball five times, roughly 40 yards, and another touchdown. So look for Vick to hit the end zone a couple of times. Cam Newton's projections today, 21 out of 38, 274 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Seven rushes, 47 yards, and another touchdown. So look for Cam to get in the end zone a couple of times. Drew Brees, if he plays the whole game, 26 out of 35, projected 304 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. A little scramble probably for about 5 yards in the game if that comes to bear. Tom Brady, at the top of the player list, 25 out of 36, 313 yards, three touchdowns, one pick. May run the ball to scramble three times for about 8 to 10 yards. Your top guys in terms of projected points, Brady, Breeze, Cam Newton, all in the 20s. Mike Vick is also in the 20s. Maurice Jones-Drew in the 20s. Stafford's in the 20s. So if you got those guys again, you're in your last leg, your fantasy playoff, your fantasy Super Bowl, whatever game you're going through, and these are your guys you've got to work with, God bless you. Go ahead and start them because those are the guys that are going to put up some numbers today. This is what I'm supposed to say. Any questions? 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747. We are broadcasting live for roughly 23 more minutes. It is January 1, 2012. Love you. And as I always say, there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. Back after this.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars? It, what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mm.
Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's mmm to you. Lipton tea can do that.
We've all dreamed of going back in time, stepping into a machine and going back hundreds of years. Well, there is a place where time travel is possible. The Henry Ford, America's greatest history attraction. Here, time travel happens every day. Here we spend time with famous inventors and the ordinary people who proved they could do extraordinary things. We can read the textbooks, we can look it up online. But history is more than where we've been. It's how we got to be who we are. Here we can touch it, walk around in it, relive it. Let's watch history come alive at Greenfield Village. Marvel at the magic of invention at Henry Ford Museum. Or take a first-hand journey through American genius on the Ford Rouge factory tour. So let's take a step back in time, because knowing where we come from is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
11:09 for your Sunday morning, fastest 60 minutes in sports, back at you. As is always the case, we always play something fun, whether it's Herman Edwards, you play to win the game, whether it's, you know, clips from some of the greatest Hall of Fame speeches we've ever heard. And we get a lot of requests throughout the week, whether it's a matter of, hey, can you play that again? Or, hey, can I get a chance to hear that snippet from Shannon Sharpe's Hall of Fame speech or that piece from Deion Sanders? And the one thing that has always been really just endearing is the Herman Edwards, you play to win the game. So I'm going to do this for you, but I'm going to do this tongue-in-cheek because it's, again, the football season is winding down, and obviously there are still some guys out here. Even though they need three teams to lose in a certain manner from the beginning of the playoffs, it's always fun because you go out there. The Colts right now, the players on that field will never ever admit to you that they do not want Andrew Luck on that squad. They'll never admit that. They're not going to tank the game just to allow the Colts to get a first-round pick. However, at least they'll never admit to it. Anyway, that said, you play to win the game. Courtesy of our friends at Showtime, as well as DJ Steve Porter. Here you go, Furlings. Enjoy it.
You know, but as a series of popular beer commercials ably demonstrates, not every head coach basks in the goodwill after the game. Courtesy of YouTube sensation DJ Steve Porter, Here's our spin on...
You play to win the game.
That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play. You don't play to win. When you start telling me, it doesn't matter. Then we talk. Get out.
We couldn't do diddly poo. Offensively, we couldn't make a push down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. We sucked.
You play to win the game.
That's pitiful.
You don't play to just play.
Perform like that.
You don't play to win.
Okay.
You start telling me
we suck.
It doesn't matter. Then we talk.
You kidding me?
Playoffs?
Okay.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
That's pitiful.
Get off the players' backs. I'm responsible for the whole thing. I'm responsible for the whole thing, okay?
The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. If you want to crowd them, they crowd their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
I told you what I'm going to do now. Now you want to know what I'm going to do? Because I'm contingency of that. Some contingency of that. Want to know what I'm going to do? Because I'm contingency of that. All of which are hypothetical.
I'm a coach of the team. I was out
who
plays. I was out who plays when they play, where they play.
That's why we took the damn field. That's why we took the damn field.
One back.
You play to win the game.
I want winners.
You don't play to just play.
I want people that want to win. This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth, number one. Number two, we cannot give them the game.
Hello?
We suck. I tell you the truth.
Right now, that person is not sold out to be part of this team. Cannot play with him.
You play to win the game.
Cannot win with him.
Playoffs. Hello?
Cannot cope with him.
That is so much crap.
Can't do it.
You play to win.
You don't know what we're trying to do. You guys don't look at the films. You don't know what happened. You really don't know. You think you know, but you really don't know. And you never will.
I'm getting on the damn heat with everybody, each and every one of y'all, hammering my tail. I don't coach that way. I don't coach them to do that type of thing.
You think I got your eyes killed, buddy?
I don't coach that way.
You think I got your eyes killed, buddy?
Zero.
I don't really care. I got to tell you the truth.
I know I'm smarter than that.
You play to win the game.
Playoffs.
You don't play to just play. You don't play to win. You start telling me. It doesn't matter. Then we're tied. Get out.
Yesterday's yesterday. Today's today. Tomorrow will be tomorrow.
Playoffs?
Thanks, Coach.
Well, only fitting, Phil, that we go to our own pop icon, pop star, Warren. Warren, that was a nice job done.
Mr. Porter did an excellent job because there's not too many ways you can make an NFL coach seem interesting.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. $11.14 for your ride this morning. Whatever your fix is for today, keeping in mind there is no college football today. It is an NFL heavy day, and all your big time bowl games get started tomorrow. And again, I've yet to figure out exactly how we get the BBVA Compass Bowl after the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, all the big ones. But it is what it is, and money talks, so such and such. It's 11:14 for your morning, 16 minutes left on the ride. Week 17 VIN picks are on your way. There was no ESPN Week 17 Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks from our buddies, again, largely because this is an odd week. Most of the playoffs are already set, so to somehow purport themselves as games that were somehow meaningful, there are way too many games that just aren't. So we had some fun doing the Week 17 VIN picks, which we'll get out there to you shortly. In the meantime, whatever your fix is today, we have not really touched on Major League Baseball and what's going on in Hot Stove yet. Everyone's waiting to see where Prince Fielder is going to go. If Prince Fielder comes to the Chicago Cubs, that will change the landscape of the Central Division. And I mean that sincerely, with Milwaukee looking at their star Braun having a potential 50-game suspension for performance-enhancing drugs, this is going to change the landscape of that division. The Cincinnati Reds have to be chomping at the bit. Dusty Baker has to be licking it because, if for nothing more, La Russa is gone. The Cardinals are going to be taking a step back. Freeze is great, but without Pujols on that squad, Pujols going to the Angels on a very, very fat deal. The Angels are completely viable. They're going to put pressure on the Rangers in the American League West, and that may be the American League West version of the next coming of the New York Yankees. So look for Pujols to do what he does. They probably extended his career, and his agent and his leadership have probably extended his career by about 5 years, because as you know, in the American League, you can simply become a designated hitter, and the DH doesn't have to play defense, which keeps him in at bat sharp. Just a great deal for him and his family. I wish him nothing but the best, because he's just a great young man across the board. 11-16 for your day. Hopefully you had a great New Year's Eve. You didn't indulge too much, and you're here with us. I do understand there have been some sad news out of the world of not only sports, but all the world of some of our youth making some not some of the best decisions, and unfortunately there have been some, for lack of a better word, disasters in some homes over the holiday season. We pray, if nothing more, the blessings of comfort over those people that they can come through those. But now, with it being 11-17 and us winding it down, your Week 17 VIN picks is on deck. I see the flashing light looking at me like, let's do this. So, without further ado, Week 17, your VIN picks. Rock and roll, baby. Week 17 in the National Football League. It is VIN pick time. I don't know if you're ready for this one, but this will be wacky. Here we go. January 1, 2012. Here you go. Detroit at Green Bay. The game of the weekend as far as the Atlanta Falcon fans are concerned, assuming Atlanta takes care of the Bucks, which, yeah, let's just go with that. The Packers have already clinched home field advantage throughout the playoffs and don't expect to see much of Aaron Rodgers or other starters. On the other hand, the Lions have something huge at stake, avoiding the New Orleans Saints. Lose here, Detroit heads to New Orleans, win, and they face the winner of Dallas and New York, sending Atlanta to the Superdome. I'm sure the players would never ever admit it, but we all know the preferable situation. The power of Lambeau should still win out, but that may be wishful thinking. Green Bay should roll. Tennessee at Houston. Houston has already clinched the AFC South, while Tennessee is still playing for something. Well, sort of. The Titans have to win and have three other games go their way for the postseason to happen. I just don't think the Texans are in that place to rest their starters. Well, because many of them, bottom line, they just don't have any guys left. Houston should win this game. Indianapolis at Jacksonville. The problem with running this column on Sunday is that it obviously things have already happened and been said, and I deal with that obvious stuff, if you haven't noticed. But let me stress the others haven't. The current Colts players don't want Andrew Luck. They want Mr. Manning behind center in 2012, not some rookie they don't know. Plus, there's no tanking in the NFL when careers only last 3.5 years on average. No research done, I promise you. Players can't afford to slack just because the postseason isn't on the line. That doesn't mean their jobs aren't. The Colts will win, blow the first pick, and will spend the next few months wondering who will trade with the Rams, assuming that they decide to stay the course and try to hold on to Sam Bradford. Pick Indianapolis. The Jets at Miami. The Jets are technically playing for something, but like the Titans, they need a win plus three other games to fail their way. And I mean that, fail their way. And there aren't many teams that would be more delighted than to send Rex Ryan home to a love seat than the Dolphins. So why not? Dolphins win. Bears at Vikings. I'm guessing I'm the only one reading this. Whoever starts Joe Webb on their fantasy team anyway. You know, if you did last year, boo. Shame on you. Obviously, whoever you did, your team sucked if you did. But anyway, quickly realized the guy actually has some skills. And so many of us were a little perplexed when the Vikings drafted Christian Ponder so early. Well, the spotlight is now yours, and well, for the first time, we've got a black quarterback and a white running back in the same game. Wow. Future looking a little wacky up in Minnesota. Doesn't matter. The Bears actually should have more, you know, the ability to simply win this game, because the Vikings just aren't there right now. Hopefully Leslie Frazier can hold on to his job. Hopefully, I'm not going to say hopefully Lovie Smith, because you all know I'm not a Lovie Smith fan. I hope Lovie Smith and Jerry Angelo go bye-bye, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, in the game, Bears should win. Buffalo at New England. With a win, the Patriots will clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and Buffalo's one-time hope has been long extinguished. Here's the rub, though. The Bills can void most of Ryan Fitzpatrick's massive contract in the offseason if they see fit. So old Fitzy has a prize to earn as well, and he's smart enough to know it. So why not go Buffalo? New England's already there. So you know what? Let's have some fun. Buffalo, mind you, you're getting 12 points. Carolina at New Orleans. The Saints clinch a first-round bye with a win, plus the 49ers loss. That doesn't look likely with the Niners going up against St. Louis. So don't be surprised to see New Orleans start and starters pull off, starters pulled if the 49ers go up early. Unless, of course, the Saints are really scoreboard watching. Tom Brady is only 190 yards behind Drew Brees, his NFL record passing mark. If Brady is on pace for 400 yards, does Peyton dare to pull Brees when he's sitting at 150 at halftime? Carolina and Cam Newton may actually win this game. Washington at Philadelphia. Nothing makes me happier than to report there are no playoff implications here. No matter who wins, who loses, who ties, there's no team involved with this game going into the postseason. Oh, 2012? You pesky Raspakalian. Off to a rousing start. Redskins probably win this game. Niners at Rams. All hands will be on the 49ers deck as the team clinches a first-round bye with a win. San Fran waxed the Rams 26-0 early in December, and the result here may be similar. Niners roll. Tampa Bay at Atlanta. My best Christmas present was having this game flexed to 4:15. The New Year's Eve open bar would have made a 1 p.m. kickoff less than ideal for the season ticket holder. However, it also has given the game a potential worthlessness if Detroit beats Green Bay earlier in the day. Atlanta will be headed to New Orleans, win or lose. Since I'm expecting the Pack's second string to actually win, I'll go ahead and call for the Atlanta to rub this in Tampa Bay's face a little bit. But I wouldn't place my bets until around 4:10. Falcons win this game. Baltimore at Cincinnati. The Ravens earn a first-round bye with a win, and Cincinnati is officially a wild-card team if victorious. This is another one you might not want to watch or touch. I'm sorry, not watch, but touch until game time. If the Jets lose early in the day, the Bengals won't be playing for anything. That said, two things. Bengals might not rest anybody anyway. And two, I'm pretty sure the Ravens suck. All right, that was a little harsh. Cincinnati should win this game. Pittsburgh at Cleveland. The Steelers have already clinched a wildcard spot but earned the division and a first-round bye with a win plus a Ravens loss. That may happen. Ben Roethlisberger is likely to take the field but should play the entire game unless an injury and or runaway Bengals win occurs. There may be blood in this game. Pittsburgh should roll. Seattle at Arizona. One of the few games you can safely ignore. Let's do so here. Arizona. Kansas City at Denver. Tim Tebow is going to the playoffs, y'all. That's not so much a prediction as a realization of an inevitability. The Broncos clinch a wildcard berth with a win or an Oakland loss, and they'll get it done themselves. The release of Kyle Orton, now KC started, may be the best QB-related move Denver has made in a decade. Denver should win this game. San Diego at Oakland. The Chargers ain't going anywhere, but can make sure Oakland stays home by winning. The Raiders need a win and a Denver loss to keep playing in 2012, but I don't see either happening here. Winner, San Diego. Dallas at the Giants. Here we come to the final game of the Week 17 slate, otherwise known as the NFL's wet dream. Two marquee teams, big names on both sides, and it's win or go home. Cowboys at the Giants. Winner takes the NFC East. Loser watches the playoffs on the couch. I don't know how much, but I do know this game will destroy the psyche of one fan base for the next 8 months. And if I have to choose, I hope it's the people who root for Keith Brookings because, gross. Winner, Giants. And that is your Week 17 NFL Vin Picks. Love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Peace! And there you go, kiddies. That is going to do it for Week 17 Vin Picks. That's it for the NFL season until we get to the playoffs. Now, for those of you looking to play in the NFL Playoff Challenge, go to NFL.com, sign up right now. Your season does not end just because your pathetic little NFL team is eliminated. Sorry.
Who the hell do you think you are?
I'm just the guy telling you that your team's been eliminated because your team sucks. Yes, your team sucks. I'm here to tell you that your team sucks. And you wasted an entire 17 weeks rooting for these guys. I'm no different. I rooted for the Chicago Bears. They were 7-3. They had it laid out for them. And then all of a sudden their quarterback goes down. He didn't even break his thumb on a tackle. He broke his thumb when he fell to the ground trying to make the tackle. Damn. Anyway, that's good radio if nothing else. Then, of course, you lose your star running back, Matt Forte. Now all hell's broken loose. You're still leading 10-0 against the Tim Tebow-led Denver Broncos with 2 minutes until Marion Barber runs out of bounds, stopping the clock. Yeah, how'd that work out for you? You pined all your hopes to Caleb Haney. How'd that work out for you? So now all of a sudden 7-3 became 7-5, then it became 7-7. Now it's become 7-8. Someone needs to be fired. Jerry Angelo this past week retorting that he may be ready to retire. Please do the Chicago faithful a favor. Leave. Please do us a favor. 4 minutes left on the ride. on the fastest 60 minutes of sports. Check us out on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday throughout the sports season, which obviously is all year round. For you NASCAR heads, the Daytona 500 is on deck, coming around the corner soon. I know most of you, there'll be 160,000 drunken fan friendly folk out there just to tell you about all the good moonshine they're going to suck down that day and all the good liquor they're going to consume. But that is going to be an event to behold. And again, we'll see what happens. Last year you found a rookie winning the NASCAR, again, the granddaddy of the Daytona 500. We'll see if that's the case one more time as Florida gets ready for that event. Lucas Oil Stadium is going to host your Super Bowl this year. For those of you that are trying to get there, get tickets. Packages are getting incredibly pricey, so if you haven't already gotten them, try to find a friend that's already there. Try to play that Visa game. For those of you looking at just trying to get any type of love from any one of these games out here, your best bet is to win tickets to Super Bowl 47. I don't even know where it's going to be played yet, but I know it's going to be awesome if you could ever just get to a Super Bowl. As we say in sports, it is the most epic day of the year. Make no mistake about it, absolutely. You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes of sports. We're going to wind it down right after, well, since I find out which button to push here. Where do you want to go, guys? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Clock's ticking, man. Make a decision. Cool beans. Back after this.
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. All right, Furlings, this is how we're going to wind it down. It's January 1, 2012. It is the first day of the brand new year. Many of you are going to be basically pining around, eating your leftovers, getting big plates of food as you sit down and settle into the NFC or AFC game of your choice. Those games will get started in about a half an hour. For those of you looking for your pregame shows, Fox will have your NFC affiliate. CBS will have your AFC affiliate. If there is a Sunday night game, and I do not know if there is, I don't actually believe there is, that will come your way courtesy of NBC. Monday nights are done for this year, so because you'll be full of bowl games tomorrow with bowl games you probably can't even pronounce. There is a GoDaddy.com bowl coming around the pipe sometime this next week, so be mindful of that. Other than that, I'm glad you made it through the New Year's. I'm glad you were safe. I'm glad you were smart. Pray for the families of those who may not have been so fortunate. And just be mindful of the fact that God is shining on you one more year. 2012 is here, and I look forward to bigger and greater things for every last one of you. So I lift you up not only in prayer, but in my thoughts and hopes of aspirations for greatness for 2012. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it, and that is going to do it for the fastest 60 minutes of sports. We will see you 1 week from today when we start digging in to the NBA. Love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Peace.